Are there people you secretly think are too far from God to ever be saved? In today's devotional, we'll unpack Romans chapter 10 and discover why whoever calls on the name of Jesus will not be disappointed, and how that changes the way we see every person we meet in the public square. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, I hope you're having a great day and enjoying this time in the Word of God together today. Hey, we're going to dive into our series, Israel, the Church, and God's Sovereignty. If you enjoy these devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, or comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. It's a great way to get the Word of God out there because we're working on one goal. We want to change our hearts so that we change the public square. Remember, if we want culture to change, it starts with us individually. So pull out your megaphones, pull out your Bible. Let's get ready to proclaim God's word together today. Here's the question that we want to answer today. Are there groups you secretly see as less likely to be saved than others? That's our question. Are there groups you secretly see as less likely to be saved than others? And so I hope we can answer that question today as we look at the scriptures. I know we will, but let's go to Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. It says this: "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with a mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So we're going to talk about whoever believes in him, in Jesus. And I want to ask you, who is Jesus? So here's some answers. Jesus is the eternal Son and true God. In John 1, 1 through 3, it says he's the Word of God. Philippians 2, 6 through 7, he took on the form of God. In John 10, 30 through 33, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. John 20, 28, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus is the true man and last Adam. In John 1, 14, became flesh. Jesus became flesh. He was born of a woman in Galatians 4, 4 through 5. In Isaiah 7, 14, Matthew 1, 22 through 23, God with us. 1 Timothy 2, 5, he's the one who mediates on our behalf. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, and the King. Matthew 16, 16, it says he's the Christ. Micah 5, 2 and Matthew 2, 5 through 6, he's the ruler of Israel. Zechariah 9, 9 and Matthew 21, 4 through 5, he's our King. In Matthew 28, 18, he has all authority. Jesus is the Savior, the sacrifice, and the Lord. In John 1, 29, he's the Lamb of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, to be sin on our behalf. Isaiah 53, Zechariah 12, 10, John 19, he was pierced for our transgressions. Titus 2, 13, he's our God and our Savior. Romans 9, 5, he's God over all. Jesus is the one way to the Father. In John 14, 6, it says he's the way, the truth, and life. In Colossians 1, 15 through 17, he's the image of God and the firstborn. In John 6, 35, he's bread of life. In John 8, 12, he's the light of the world. In John 10, 11, he's the good shepherd. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 and 22, 13, he's the Alpha and Omega. So I know that was quick, but if you want to go back and read all those Bible verses, that's great. But here's what I want you to know. Jesus is the lion and the lamb. So he came as a lamb the first time to pay for the penalty of sin on our lives. And when he comes back, he'll come back as a mighty lion. So whoever believes on Jesus, the one who died for our sins and rose again and conquered sin and death, and then it says this, will not be disappointed. Did you know that comes from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16? Let's read that really quick. It says, "Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone, for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it, in that stone, will not be disturbed or disappointed." So think about that. A costly cornerstone. It's Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus today? When you go into the public square today, you might find some people who are struggling with disappointment, frustration, anxiety, fear of the future. Could you introduce them to Jesus so that they might believe? And if they do believe in Jesus, they won't be disappointed. This is where we are as believers in Jesus Christ. We don't have disappointment because we know who holds the final Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. All right. So this is our next verse. It says, for there is no distinction in verse 12. And some right there will say, wait, see, it proves that your church has replaced Israel. But you always have to take scripture in context. If you take and you pull this verse out of context, or you shoplift it, you might say, you would end up at the wrong place. But remember, Romans 9, 10, and 11 go hand in hand. So let's just read about this. If that is what Paul means, then he contradicts himself in chapter 11, verse 1. It says, I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. So he's answering the question just a few sentences later. Has God rejected his people? If the verse above meant that there's no distinction, meant that God rejected his people, then the verse below would be out of context. Verse 2, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know that the scriptures say in the passage of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? So he asks the question again, making it more abundantly clear. And the answer is no. So what we have to understand, if someone, verse 14, it says, if somehow I might move to jealousy my countrymen and save some of them. Okay, so now he's honing in. Well, we're going to go through chapter 11 very, very closely. But the reality is God has not rejected Israel. There's only one way to be saved. That is through Jesus Christ, a Jewish Messiah who died on the cross for our sins and rose again that we may have eternal life. And finally, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. What mystery? The mystery of the bride and the nation, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So Paul is simply saying here in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Jews will be saved by faith in Jesus Christ, by believing in him. Greeks will be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation is only one path. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, does that mean that he has undone the covenant with Abraham and his promise of being a nation? No. There's going to come a time when the Gentile season is fulfilled. It says right here, Gentile has come in, that the focus will go back to the Jewish nation of Israel. So this doesn't disprove anything. It actually proves that there is salvation through Jesus Christ. And you might just be used today to lead someone to Jesus. And so I want to encourage you, know the gospel message that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, that he appeared. And if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. If we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead, we will be saved. So let's encourage people to accept the name of Jesus today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this great day. And Lord, we do pray that you'll give us encounters as we go into the public square to lead those who do not know Jesus, those who are disappointed, frustrated, and far from you, back to your throne, God. Let every knee bow down and let every tongue confess Jesus as Lord. God, we thank you that our citizenship is in heaven and our stewardship is here on earth. And so help us, Lord. Help us to walk these things out practically and to love our neighbor as ourself. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.